Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Have no place to go.
610, hi, good morning. I'm fine, how are you? Oh, you look good. Most people don't look this good when you get up in the morning. I like to pick one listener out and talk to them each day. Who were you talking to just now? I can't say the name because they haven't given me permission, but trust me, they look good. Very, very good. 610. Weird morning. It was a kind of a cool sunrise. It looked like it had potential an hour ago, and now it's all cloudy and stuff. So
it's chilly. I had to turn the heat on in the car.
51 degrees or something, right?
Man.
For the day, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We're not there.
Steering wheel heater. It was
and
great.
Then 80 tomorrow.
Yeah, of course. Why not? Welcome to Denver.
Did you hear Mary? She used her steering wheel heater.
Oh, I do too.
I love that thing.
Yeah,
that's,
I do too.
It is the best.
Yeah.
And my seat warmer for when I take a nap.
I like to turn the air conditioning on the car and use the seat warmer.
Yes. What?
I know.
Wait. Can't
I know.
Do that.
Remember when Hummers were a thing? I mean, I'm talking about the car.
Yep.
The Hummers folks, there used to be a dealership out in Schaumburg, I guess. And they were a sponsor, and they asked me to drive the bigger one and the smaller one. There's like an H2 and an H3, I think. So the first time I'm driving it, I didn't know it had a seat warmer. It was about 95 degrees in July, and I'm stuck in traffic on the Eisenhower, where I've lived most of my life. And my knee had hit the seat warmer.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't look at any of the controls, but it didn't register with me that it would have a seat warmer. I'm going, what am I having a stroke? What is this? Why am I so hot all of a sudden? And suddenly my butt got really hot, and then my backside, and then I'm trying to figure out where the button is. I eventually had to pull off. I had to pull off to the side of the road like there was something wrong with it so I could find the super secret seat warmer button and shut it down.
It's awful. I've done that in the summer, too. And I'm like, why am I having a hot flash in the middle of the day?
I know. In some of the seat warmers, like in newer cars, it's more clear where they're at. But I have an older Jeep Cherokee, and the seat warmer button is like on the side. And when I'm trying to coach people in the passenger seat, okay, go down your thigh,
right.
Go further down,
yeah.
Okay, and then there's an up and down and a
middle. The Hummer, you had to know a secret handshake.
Yeah, this was basically.
It's like to the right of my right knee, knock twice.
You know, to have a steering wheel warmer, though,
oh.
That is next level luxury is what that is.
It is.
I can't even imagine. I just have a regular steering wheel.
What?
That's all I have too.
I can't afford a.
What do you mean you have a regular? You're off this show.
I know. I might as well be in steerage.
I didn't ask for it. It came with my car.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not going to not use it.
Got to use it. It is the absolute
steering
best
steering wheel warmer.
We got one of our favorite kid of the weeks of all time today, and a cool update from her. The folks from the Patriot Education Fund are going to be in after 7 o'clock. Mark Slaby is a hero in his own right, though he'll never admit to that. And we'll tell you what the Patriot Education Fund does, because it's good stuff. Marianne Ahern, of course, covered the Lori Lightfoot inauguration yesterday. And she highlighted on Twitter, either last night or this morning, I forget which, when Lori Lightfoot, all 4 feet 11 inches of her, turned around and stared down the alderman and said, your BS is over.
Yeah.
So it's a cool moment. Amara Anya ran for mayor. We'll see what she thinks about the early hours of the Lightfoot administration, where we go from here, and then Orion, of course, later. And then Dean is live in London. All that coming up. Stand by for it. Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't get
your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Staying on the Lori Lightfoot, Mayor Lightfoot story here, moments after taking the oath of office, Mayor Lightfoot promised to restore integrity to city government, city council, that at times been hobbled by allegations against some of its highest ranking members. Her top four priorities are public safety, city finances, restoring confidence in government, and more equitable spending in all neighborhoods. Seems sensible to me. Next. And the first official act, Mayor Lightfoot signed an executive order aimed at limiting the power of aldermen in city departments. She said of the order, which banned city departments from deferring to aldermanic wishes in their decision-making practice, unless expressly required by the Municipal Code of Chicago, isn't the end-all solution, but it works for now. What a crazy idea. So the alderman can't just pick up the phone and call Streets and Sand and say, get a truck to my house? How crazy is that?
Though I like seeing that. I like thinking sometimes of people having that kind of power, like in a movie, you know, you can get what you want, but it's not a good practical.
It's funny. I only like thinking of me having that kind of power.
Well, let me just, from a Chicagoan standpoint on this, there's a flip side of that, too, because if you live in a, let's say I live in the 46th Ward, and we have a problem on my block of people dumping all kinds of stuff in our alleys, and you can call the alderman's office and say, hey, this has happened, and they can direct Streets and Sand to come and pick it up immediately, almost. Mm-hmm. So will that go away? Is, you know, will we not be able to have that kind of interaction with our aldermen to get those emergency type things that they were able to accomplish with those, you know, abilities? Is that going to go away? I think that'll be a big deal.
Well, I think if it's an emergency type situation, I think it's a yes. I think if it's a, hey, you know what'll help me if I get a new sign on the corner.
The and you could always use that 311 app. Steve, you know that app?
No, that doesn't really work.
But you could go out and stand in the alley where the crap is and then dial 311.
Maybe.
I had a question for you, Steve, though. When they, like, so she signed that right away. Was her transition team working on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what they did these last few weeks.
They got all sorts of paperwork they just throw on her desk and go, let's start signing, Mayor.
Did we hear which desk she's using? Is she using former Mayor Rahm Emanuel's desk?
I don't know.
Anyone know?
Oh. I don't know. I would hope she had one that would, you know, fit to her. Not that Rahm was tall by any stretch, obviously, but she's shorter than Rahm. You don't want her looking like when you're sitting at the desk. You don't want shots where she looks like it's take your daughter to work day.
Right, because he used some old desk that he found in the basement, remember?
Right. Next, the lawyer for Don McGahn, the former White House counsel, said his client will not appear today at a House Judiciary Committee. Well, why would he? It's just a subpoena. I mean, why honor subpoenas? The Democrats seeking information on special counsel's Russia investigation. This is largely, most legal folks will tell you, McGahn's decision. You either appear by subpoena and face the wrath of Trump, or you ignore the subpoena and Trump doesn't tweet about you today. That's an oversimplistic view of things, and McGahn may have more to say about it, but he will now face immediate contempt charges. Ooh, contempt. Look how dangerous that was for the Attorney General. This is why you have to go forward with impeachment proceedings now, regardless of where they lead, because somebody's got to stand up and say law matters. Good God. Next. Federal judge ruled President Trump yesterday had a financial records loss in his dispute with Congress. Said lawmakers should get the documents. Man, Steve, did you see or read any portion of
this? This is and
40 pages plus.
And, you know, the basic notion here is, hey, wait, Congress has the ability to make laws. That's part of their job.
Right.
And they need the information that they're asking for to possibly do that.
Right, right.
And I think, you know, you can, this is like a boilerplate that you can put on every one of these subpoena fights, I think.
And further evidence that Trump doesn't understand or care how it works said, well, this is obviously an Obama judge. For the 9 millionth time, judges are not Obama judges or Trump judges. They're judges. And they're there to interpret and administer the law.
People also keep saying, well, this is going to go to the Supreme Court. It may not go to the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court picks and chooses which cases to hear. And if it's a cut and dry case, like a constitutional matter with another branch of government, the Supreme Court often doesn't even take those cases.
Yeah, they'll say the decision was right.
Right.
Next, how long are you going to wait for a sandwich? Let's go live to Steve on this, food expert on the program. Steve, how long are you wait for a sandwich?
Depends on what kind of sandwich it is, but I would say if it were just a standard sandwich, 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes seems like a good number.
Yeah.
Zingerman's Deli, the pop-up in Chicago, had lines which maxed out at 400 people.
Nope.
How hungry are you if you're 400th in line and all the sandwiches are being handmade?
So Zingerman's is in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, buddy.
So that's about a 4.5-hour drive.
Right, so if you're going to spend 2 hours in line for a sandwich, you could be halfway to Zingerman's.
Just drive, and then you have probably a bigger choice, too. It's a great place.
Are these sandwiches made by angels, or?
Some would say so, yep. Yeah, if you look at the pictures.
I've ordered from Zingerman's.
I have, too. I used to order pie from them and have it delivered.
Who did I get? Maybe it was Kevin Powell, maybe. I got Kevin, like, a Christmas gift card to Zingerman's so he could buy meat.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
A lot of people... Oh, I'm sorry, Steve.
I was just going to say, is there a chance that, we could have these sandwiches here within 5 or 10 minutes or no?
Yeah,
I would like
to say that long of a lunch hour.
Yeah, no, I would like to say that they're going to rush over here with free sandwiches. Based on the fact that they had 400 people in line, I don't think they need our publicity.
I also don't... Are they still here? Because I think they were only here like for a couple of days.
Yeah, it was a couple of days.
Yeah, it was a pop-up situation.
With that kind of business, they'll open a store here.
I would hope.
Yeah. And, you know, we need more food in Chicago, don't we?
Yeah, there's not enough choices.
Next, James Holzhauer is back, returned with another big win after a two-week break in Jeopardy, where apparently he locked himself in a room and remembered more crap.
Oh, my gosh, I watched him yesterday. The guy is just unbelievable. He won like 80-some thousand.
Yeah, 89,000.
Yesterday. Wow. Mm-hmm. And then the worst thing was one of the answers was wrong or something, and during the break they added $4,000 to his score because they had screwed up.
So during the break, do you think he was correcting Alex?
Yeah, exactly. I think he was.
Having been in that studio when they have any sort of a dispute, they stop the taping, and they'll take a long time. They have encyclopedias there. They have a staff that they
do they have the internet?
I don't know.
Nobody
I'm guessing they do. They have Wikipedia. And
I like the idea. Get me the volume F.
Yes.
Yeah.
The World Book.
But they take whatever time is needed to get the right answer, and then they correct it.
I think this guy is the perfect replacement for Trebek when Trebek steps down. He knows all the answers. He just stands up. Now, here's the problem. He would have to learn patience. It's like a great athlete is not necessarily a great coach because he doesn't have patience. So you could see it could also go the other way, where the first time there's a wrong answer, he goes, no, stupid. The right answer is.
You know who he would be? He would be Will Ferrell playing Alex Trebek.
Yeah, it's true. With greater frustration every time an answer comes up.
I heard him on with a former person that used to work here that just lost a bunch of weight that we talk about a lot here.
Who am I forgetting?
David Kaplan.
Oh, with Kaplan?
And he told him that he trained for this because he doesn't wear dress shoes, so he would stand around his living room wearing dress shoes to be able to stand to do the quiz show.
I heard that, yeah. I heard he practiced standing so he'd be used to it, so he could get used to the physical stress on his body and not affect his mind.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, how many Jeopardy contestants are practicing standing in their shoes at home?
I don't know. I did it for win, lose, or draw. What? Was that a game? I think that was a game. It's 6:22. That is your top 6 at 6.
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I don't know. What do you guys want to talk about?
I think Super Joe might have texted this in. Zingermans are made by the hands that feed legends. Legends and victors. Michigan men, women, and children go blue.
Is that from you, Super Joe?
That's not from me, but it does sound like a very intelligent person.
Dave, is there a Northwestern food, like that in Evanston? Is there a food that feeds the legends in Northwestern that people talk about?
There's not a Northwest. There's not an Evanston thing, is there?
Well, not a specific one. There are so many choices compared to Ann Arbor that, I mean, there's some...
I like to go to Brainiac's Deli. It's right next to the DNA Cafe when I'm in Evanston.
Exactly.
Well, it's funny because I first experienced Zingerman's with a Northwestern basketball team where they would order the post-game meal from Zingerman's.
And then have it brought to the team?
And have it brought to the bus for the ride back. Or to
I
got to
tell you, if you were a manager of a high school team or college team, you don't get enough credit.
No.
Those guys run around and work their tails off.
Yeah, they do. They
so did
do.
You eat one, though, or did you just look at it? Because you don't really eat.
Oh, they had some stuff that I would eat.
Oh, like blades of grass inside inside wheat toast or avocado toast.
And your point is?
The team manager. Make sure we get a salad for Dave on it for the ride home.
We've got meat and Dave. So... Actually, call it the Dave. Have you been to the actual deli?
I've been to the actual deli. In fact, bought some bread there. We were there right before Thanksgiving for a football game, and my wife had come with me. We decided we would stop there, and we got it was like some sort of like a pumpkin bread or something for Thanksgiving. Sure. That was
artisans
great.
Making artisan, it in the back.
Yes, and so we got some of that bread and brought it back for our Thanksgiving feast.
Well, listen, every place should have their place. And Zingerman's, is Zingerman's the most famous Ann Arbor thing?
Yeah, I would say that's the most. That's the sandwich place to go.
That's the go to.
Yeah.
What's the place in Bloomington with the giant subs that everybody talks about?
Oh, the place with the gun, the gondolas. Limpy?
Was it Blimpy?
Yeah, Avani.
Avani's.
Yeah.
I went to Avani's with Amy when she went to my daughter when she went to Illinois Wesleyan, and I'm going, seriously? I mean, I know college kids are eating ramen, but seriously?
Weren't blown away?
No. And then when we had the ISU coach on when they went to the national finals
a
couple of years ago,
yep.
I sent him like $500 worth of subs, and I think that probably fed the O-line because those guys like to eat.
For a day.
Right. But Avani's is a big deal. And I really, to be fair, I only give it one chance. I should go back at some point.
It's funny when you're in a college town, though, and what seems good. The first school I went to was St. Mary's in Winona, Minnesota, and there was a Perkins. And that's when food in a bread bowl just started happening in my life.
It's unbelievable.
And yeah, can we save up enough money to go to Perkins multiple times right. during the week? That was the big thing. And, obviously I don't hit up the Perkins anywhere any other time.
Well, Abigail Grace, it all comes back to Abigail Grace, and Abigail Grace she calls them O's. And, they're like Chef Boyardee. They're not Chef Boyardee, but they're like Chef Boyardee in a can.
Oh, sure. They're probably Annie's, the healthier version.
Yeah, I think they are, actually. Yeah, and she has a 3.5-year-old sized bowl of O's, and she's scarfing them down and stuff. I go, how are they? She goes, yummy.
Right.
Yummy.
And then you take a bite, and they're not even good.
No.
You were asking about Evanston, and I was trying to think of the place. Bat 17 is a... it's kind of near the train tracks in downtown Evanston, and they have all the different kinds of sandwiches with, some...
What's it called? Bat 17?
Bat 17.
B-A-double-T?
B-A-T.
Why is it called Bat 17?
I don't know.
I would go in there just to say, why is it called Bat 17, and can I get a sandwich? Okay.
Well, they'd be worth it for
right?
you, though.
Carry out
sandwiches are good.
This is why I like it, according to the thing. Expansive sports bar offering sandwiches, booze, pool, and more.
Oh, booze. Sure.
The boozeologist.
Though we've talked to Dave about playing pool while he's drinking. It's not a good idea. It's 6:32. We'll come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
720 WGN.
Sandberg was doing some research on the Bat 17 Evanston's restaurant that you were describing their website. Mm-hmm. What'd you find?
That they 10 years ago they opened in Evanston because they were inspired by the Zingerman's Deli in Ann Arbor, so they've borrowed ideas from.
Look
them.
How it all ties together.
And someone else mentioned Mustard's Last Stand, which is right next to Ryan Field.
You were thinking more.
It's
downtown.
A landmark. I was thinking sandwiches too, right. more right. than hot
right.
dogs.
Right. All right, we'll continue to cover the important topics, but first let's get to the less important stuff in the news, right, Steve? Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not. On
a
team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smiles.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Kid of the week time, kid of the year, 2016, Samantha Crump. Time for an update. Let's go to Samantha. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming back on.
Of course.
I think you have been on the show more than I have. I'm going to let you tell people the good news. Why is July 8th important?
July 8th? Oh, that was the day of my stem cell transplant.
So, as I understand things, on July 8th, you'll have 3 years of living cancer-free from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Is that right?
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much is close enough. We like pretty much. And you just finished your second year at nursing school?
Yep, just finished my second year at Illinois State.
Hey, Samantha, we were just talking about food around college towns. Is there a go-to sandwich at Illinois State that you'd like to eat?
It's probably Avanti's,
sandwich.
Right? Do you guys go to Avanti's?
Oh, yeah. There's Avanti's. I live right across the street from there.
Yeah. Are you knocked out by Avanti's, Samantha? I wasn't knocked out by it. You know what I mean? Is it...
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's reasonably priced, and you get a lot of food.
It is reasonably priced, for
right,
sure.
So there you go for college. All right, so nursing school must be going well.
Yeah, it was hard. I passed my classes. That's
nice.
What matters.
Good start, yeah.
This past semester, I had clinicals, so I was working in the hospital. They really tried to wean you out. We got to do all the dirty work. If you know what I mean.
Oh,
I
this is where they see the last women and men standing.
Yeah,
if you can get through the hard stuff, yep. then yep. you're...
You oh,
can...
yeah. Yep, that's for sure.
Now, you've spent time in hospitals. Where was it work you were familiar with? Because you've been on the other side being at the hospital.
Well, it wasn't what I was really expecting, mm-hmm. but, I mean, me in the hospital, I know that there have been difficult situations, and for the nurses that I'm sorry I had to put them through, but basically I'll just tell you that I was in those same situations.
Well, I think you probably have a greater
you
probably have a greater appreciation for how hard the job is, right?
Oh, for sure, definitely.
So everybody wants to know how you're feeling. We know that you are on the right side of this fight, but generally most days pretty good, strong, feeling your age?
Yep, I feel pretty much back to normal. Totally back to normal. Totally back to normal.
Well, I mean, that's just nothing short of fantastic, right?
For sure.
And then, Samantha, let's give us a hair update, because we've been following that through the years.
Well, it always comes down to hair, Samantha. This is the part that I can't talk about because I don't understand it. You know?
I think that it looks really good. It's down past my neck to my shoulders, so I can wear it in a ponytail, in a braid, anything. So I like it now.
That's fantastic.
Good.
So we had to get Samantha on the phone because she said we were talking this week and she just got home from school, but then she's going to go to Greece in 2 weeks. Is that right?
Yes, I'm leaving to study abroad in Cyprus. It's an island right off of Greece, and I'm going to be there for 4 weeks and take 2 classes there. And then after that, I'm going to Egypt for a week.
Fantastic.
So she's going to get to see the pyramids.
This is tremendous. This is what you should be doing. Yeah. Stuff other kids your age do. None of this, you know, all your work is on the right side now. You're learning how to be a nurse. You're not the patient, and that's the way we want it to stay.
Yes.
Right? High five.
Yeah.
Any message to future kids of the week? What do you want to tell them?
I think just you're a kid of the week for a reason. So just keep doing what you're doing for other people. And
there's always there's always payback. The payback is how good you feel and the good that you're doing for the rest of the world.
Yes.
Hey, Samantha, how are your siblings doing?
They're good. My sister, she just had her senior prom at Resurrection, and she's actually graduating on Thursday.
Hey,
and then
great.
My brother just finished his junior year at Notre Dame. So, yeah.
Sounds like you got a very busy household.
That's why she's got to go to Greece.
Yeah, get out of there.
Yeah,
get too much going on.
Yeah, I'm ready for a break.
Well, one of the things I love, Samantha, is all the good stuff going on for you is, you miss stuff that you shouldn't have missed because you had to deal with the fight you've been in. And I just want you to enjoy life now. Now, don't do anything dopey like
Thank
other kids
you.
Your age. You know, I mean, other kids your age will do something dopey and then you get in trouble. A little trouble's not bad.
He's not going to do anything dopey.
Well, I mean, she can get into a little trouble. Just don't get into a lot of trouble.
I'll try not to.
Samantha gets off the phone. She goes, it's weird. Steve turned into an old guy when he was talking to me. Samantha Crump, we love you, and thanks for being on.
Thank you very much.
There you go. She's packing for Greece. I'm yapping to her about not getting into trouble.
When she told me she was going to be leaving for Cyprus, I said I hadn't heard that Cyprus was a nursing school study abroad thing, but then she said there are gen ed classes that she's taking over there.
Pretty cool.
The study abroad thing that kids do now, it's like it's not even a, are we going to or not? They all just do it. And it seems like the most incredible time to get to experience different cultures.
Yeah, and they take classes like food and all this other stuff.
I mean, summering in Greece.
Experience. That's what it all
Dave,
is
when
about.
You studied abroad at Evanston, did that mean you'd go to like Downers Grove? Get a cultural change?
I think the longest extension I took was Iowa. Woo. I mean, the state line, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, we were never offered anything.
Yeah,
we
never went overseas. I mean, my kids both went to Europe for a semester.
Amy did Italy.
Yeah, guys, my daughter, Lindsay, did Spain. She did Pamplona, Spain. How about that?
Did she run with the Bulls?
No, we told her she couldn't. Are you kidding?
My kids didn't go anywhere.
Ross had an opportunity. He chose not to take up on it, take it up, I should say. But it's a great thing.
Some kids don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's the way they are. They'd rather stay home, work or whatever.
Right. 6:51. So there you go. Samantha Crump update. Oh, a little staff update in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
There is hope. Both of her shoes and her head. Said she likes to feel the sand beneath her feet.
I'm not going to engage in my normal smartassery here because I want to congratulate Mary Sandberg, or would we like to call her Sandberg, who is, she's not leaving the show, but she's kind of leaving the show. She is going to become the director of news and operations for this place. Somebody asked me yesterday, they said, well, what's that going to be like, Sandberg being your boss? I go, how's it changing? But you will still be involved with this show to take first steps first. But the rest of it, you're going to be overseeing the news department and the operations, along with Todd Manley, obviously. And congratulations are in order. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This will be the time for the sucking up to begin. Steve, let's start with you. What did you want to say to Sandberg?
No, I just want to say, because, you know, Mary and I came to WGN together. Mm-hmm. We were both hired at the same time, and I couldn't be more excited and happy for Mary. And I am at your service, my liege.
See, that sounded very sincere. That wasn't sucking up at all.
That's sucking up at all.
Vandeveld, do you want to suck up at all?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to suck up.
Mary. She said congratulations. It was very
took
nice.
Care of that.
I said congratulations. Yes.
Michael, do you have any suck-uppery you'd like to throw in here to the new boss, Mary Sandberg?
Yes, of course. Mary, it's a pleasure working with you. I'm so glad I'm on the show now. If you need me to mow your lawn anytime, just let me know.
There we go. That's kind of what I expected. Super Joe, you got anything?
Yeah, Mary was integral in getting me this job, so I appreciate everything that she's done. And
no question.
Yep.
Yeah, because I voted against you, as you know.
Yep.
On multiple
occasions. Outvoted, man. That's the way it works.
Just don't say she got me this job. She can take it away.
How about you, Dave?
Yikes.
I have too much respect for Mary to suck up to her. I don't think that works with her.
At least not on the air.
No.
I think she can read right through that.
Yeah, I think she can too. Yeah.
You know, that's a great point. Your BS meter is really good. So, you know, can I give you some advice?
Sure.
Your BS meter's good. Keep your BS meter on. And here's the thing the rest of the people that haven't worked with you every day don't know. You have a fine talent in being able to tell people what to do, to make them do it, and not make them think you were yelling at them.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's some sort of evil power that you wield.
Yeah,
so.
Because right, she's always smiling.
I also think that a couple of things are going to happen in the interim. We're going to find who stole the yogurt. Number one, I think Mary's going to be all over that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible it was Sandberg?
I mean, she wasn't here yesterday. You weren't here yesterday. No, how are you feeling, by the way?
Oh, I feel good. I feel great, actually.
Did you eat some poison yogurt?
No, I did not eat poison yogurt, but I did eat something that we didn't.
Oh. So you say. She was actually avoiding the whole hoopla about the promotion.
Oh, that's it. Are you going to divulge the restaurant?
No, I am not. I am not.
So write it down on a piece of paper, and I'll say it during context of something else.
The other question I have is, will we still be able to sit on the furniture?
Oh, that's a great point, Steve. That's a great point. New rules of organization around here.
Right?
Can we order food, or is that still a no-no?
Yeah, no food.
Oh, boy.
No food.
New systems.
Yeah.
Crack that whip.
There's going to be a little less revelry around here.
And I'm guessing, too, that the Bounty towels will never be empty.
Yeah, this is correct. Right. We'll never have any.
Got to have priorities.
We'll always have really good appliances.
Yep.
Yep, got to have priorities.
All from app.
For those of you who like Evan Sandberg on the show, as we all do, you will still be involved with this show. We're going to work out some things later on in regards to timing and things, because you're going to have to be here during the day. while the rest of us leave. And you're going to have to be in meetings, which you know I'm allergic to. But this place is going to be better with you in this position. So I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the rest of us, too.
I'm excited,
congratulations,
too. It's Mary. A great opportunity.
And please put candy in your office.
Okay. Well, so you know, because that makes the people come.
It does. Oh. And it makes us all happier. The candy makes
She's going to have garlic in there.
Big bowl of kale. The only one in there is in it.
I'm interested in getting some work done. So that's what's going to hopefully happen.
Yeah. No, it will.
I did ask, though, Steve, yesterday when I was being told about this, that I said, you know, I play golf with Steve in a few outings. How will this affect my golf outings? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're still going to do those. I said, okay. Thank goodness.
Yeah, but here's what's going to happen. You're going to be in these golf outings. You're going to be like three holes in. You're going to be working the text.
Right.
You're going to be looking over and you're going to go, I got to go. And then we got to find somebody, you know, in the gallery to come and fill your spot.
Yeah. Ugh.
But she did that before. She would just like ditch in the middle of the golf outing, remember?
I did. Well, with the she talked about the mini golf, and you guys were not efficient mini golfers. Yeah. I had different. To get out of there.
That was a real window into the future when she abandoned us because we weren't playing mini golf fast enough. Congratulations to Sandberg, and for those of you about to text and say, oh my God, no, she's still going to be involved with the show. We just can't tell you how yet, because it's a secret. At 7 o'clock, we'll come back with your headlines in just a second from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and Steve Grzanich will be there next.
She is Mary Sandberg, she is Mary, 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 she is Mary Sandberg, the Steve Cochran Show.
Steve 7:13, we continue. This is show number 1378. I got a text from David Curley from ABC News this morning. He was in town overnight. And I said, well, you should have called me because we could have played a hole of golf on your way back to the airport. And he said traffic was bad enough we could have played nine. Mary Vanderbilt, I don't think I've ever seen more construction in this town.
Everywhere you turn, it's just popping up all over the place. But it's the season.
But it's not just me, right? I mean, there is more construction than ever.
I don't know. I think the roads are in worse shape than ever. So I think some of this work just has to be done. And, you know, all the potholes have just all shown up. So it's bad. I agree. And what are you going to do? You have to hit when the weather supposedly is good, even though it's still kind of winter.
Well, the problem with construction on the downtown streets is you just lock it. Whatever direction that's in, you're just done. You can't get there.
Right. Yeah.
Like Congress in Ontario. Down to one lane.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's not.
It's not happening.
No.
So.
Very narrow lanes. I don't know. They got to get their work done. What are you going to do?
Here in studio, one of my favorite people. I'd like to tell him I'm the big brother he never wanted. Mark Slaby is here. Mark is a very successful businessman in his own right, but a few years ago said, you know what I want to do? I want to do the Patriot Education Fund, which at the time we were calling, I think, the Illinois Patriot Education Fund. Oh, good morning to you, Mark.
Morning.
I want to get your microphone on. That might be helpful.
Good morning, Steve.
It's my first day. I didn't know what button it was. Nice to see you, buddy.
Great to be here, and thanks again for all the support that you provide, the Patriot Education Fund and all the veteran programs that you have on the show each year.
Well, before we go any further and meet our real guest of honor in studio, talk about what the Patriot Education Fund is, what the goal is, and what you like to do.
Sure. So the Patriot Education Fund is a 501c3 based here in Illinois that services veterans and military families throughout the country to simply raise educational funds and provide educational opportunities for military families, which includes obviously the veteran, the spouse, and the children.
Why is that important?
Well, I think what we're also going to hear here from Ranger John Sims is that oftentimes when these family members enlist and then they get out and they're trying to transition into civilian life, the post 9/11 GI Bill does not really cover all the educational pursuits that they would hope or that they would need to achieve a level of education that is sufficing for successful transition in today's environment.
So the goal is to fill the gap. One of the other things I like about the way you set this up is there's sweat equity involved. Not that it wouldn't be nice to pay the whole way, but you provide a good chunk of what's needed to do the education, and the person involved, they fill in the rest.
Correct. I mean, the one thing...
And these people aren't afraid of hard work, so that's not an issue.
Correct. I think one of the philosophies, to your point, is that we work very hard at looking at the investment of the individual and the family that we're providing donors' funds into. So we look at the background, the individual, the promise. I mean, these are the 1% of our country, so we believe strongly that if we make the proper investment in the 1%, we will have dividends years, generations from now on individuals who will go on to continue to serve in their local communities or state or federal offices or just business leaders or community leaders. And we think that if anybody should be given the opportunity to make a wise investment in, it's the military family.
Thank God you didn't listen to me when I told you shouldn't do this. By the way, I told him he shouldn't do it because I thought it was too much work and he was going to start a young family. And how are your kids, by the way?
You know, they're great. Thank you.
How's Dana?
She's wonderful. Thank you. She would say hello, and the kids look forward to seeing you on Tuesday at the Patriot Education Fund Golf Classic.
Another giant event in one of the most important of the year. We'll talk more about that in a second. But first, would you introduce Mr. Sims here?
Please. So as an example, each time we come on your show, we try and profile an example of a student who is striving for excellence and has served our country honorably. And today we have John Sims, Ranger John Sims, who can tell us a little bit about his background and his service to our country, as well as his career and educational pursuits.
Let me brag about you for a second, John Leonard Sims. Army Ranger, deployed 3 times, not once, not twice, but 3 times to Afghanistan. Oversaw training of new Rangers, also served as a medic, and is in his third semester of pursuing a degree in Middle Eastern Affairs at Columbia University in New York, thanks to, in part, and big part, the Patriot Education Fund. Thank you for your service.
Oh, no, not a problem. Thank
you. Where are you from?
Evergreen Park.
And did you grow up wanting to be a Ranger?
From a young age, I always wanted to join the military.
Lean into that mic a little for me.
From a young age, I always wanted to join the military, but then probably about in high school is when I decided that I wanted to go forward and be a Ranger.
I always like to give credit to those who came before. It's part of what we do here as well, I think. Who inspired you?
My brother, Mike, who was a pararescue jumper in the Air Force, special operations as well. So he was really the person that drove me to pursue special operations. But I went Army, he went Air Force.
Everybody that joins is important, is crucial to the mission. To become an Army Ranger is to be a specialist, literally. I mean, there's a lot of doctors, and then there's those who choose to specialize in a particular field. Did you have any idea how tough Ranger training would be?
I had a pretty good idea, but I was still surprised by it. I think I spent probably about the last 2 years of my high school career preparing for it, but once I got into the training, I was still surprised by the intensity of it.
Physical or mental harder?
Both. Probably more so mental. Just the every day in, day out physicality of it was very intense.
Did you have any idea you would be able to accommodate that kind of stress under fire and in stressful situations? Or do you not know until you know?
You don't know until you're in it, essentially.
So,
I'm sorry. You said you were preparing in high school. You made the decision. How did you prepare in high school?
So I enlisted during my senior year when I was 17. My parents had to sign essentially a permission slip for me to join. And then about 2 months after graduating in May of 2012, I was in basic training in Fort Benning, Georgia. And within a year from that point, I was in Afghanistan. So it was a quick turnaround from graduating high school to actually being deployed. So I would spend about, 5 nights a week going for runs and doing workouts in high school to make sure I was prepared for the selection process.
You know, those of us who are elderly, it's easy to take pot shots at millennials. Not that you're a millennial. You're the generation after millennial. What is that called again, Sam Brick? What's the next generation?
The post-millennial.
Yeah, whatever after millennial is.
Generation XZ.
XZY. Generation
yes,
Pi.
One of the XYZs.
Point being, Admiral McRaven said this week, he said, for everybody that says millennials are slackers and lazy and stuff, I wish they could see millennials in a firefight and the service that they provide every day. Because when push comes to shove, we count on our best 18 to 22-year-olds first. And that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody who has been home. I'm guessing your big brother was probably pretty proud of you.
No, he was. He was at my graduation for basic training and once I actually joined the Ranger Regiment. So, and he was really important to me actually succeeding. So, yeah, very proud.
It's interesting, too, that you've chosen Middle Eastern Affairs because when I think of Middle Eastern Affairs, I think, isn't that what you got out of? And now you're going to go back? I mean, I know you know it and you know it well, and maybe that's why you want to be involved.
In the military, I really enjoyed the sense of purpose that came from it and kind of being involved in what felt like very important matters. And I knew that I didn't want to make a career out of the Ranger Regiment, so I wanted to pursue an education. And I thought a degree in Middle Eastern Affairs would be perfect for later on in life going back into government work, whether it's with the FBI or State Department, to continue to serve my country in some capacity, although maybe a more sustainable long-term option.
Any interest in diplomacy or politics? Because they're the same thing, I think you probably know it.
Yes, but...
For a guy that's you know, been involved in action, and again, I'm a little biased here because I'm allergic to meetings at this point in my life, but Mark comes from the business world, and have you been involved in that level of it yet where it's frustrating because you know what it takes to get something done, but yet you have to sit down with a lot of people and talk? Because Middle Eastern affairs means you're going to be sitting down with a lot of people and swapping agendas and hopefully compromising in a safe solution.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, the military is very political. There's actually a lot of diplomacy within, or just, you know, office politics, essentially, within a platoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think any experience or exposure I have from that or in that field would become... come from my time in the military as well.
Come back. I want to talk specifically about the Patriot Education Fund and what they've done for you. Mark, the golf outing, are we full?
Yeah, we've sold out again. We've had a great run for almost 10 years now, and we are full. And but we would encourage your listeners, if they want to get involved, that at each year we underwrite the foursome of a Purple Heart, a foursome of recipients. We also have the pleasure of honoring some World War II veterans this year. And if there are donors who would like to get involved and continue to donate to underwrite these foursomes, we would be grateful for their donations.
Yeah, and the World War II veterans are not going to be here forever, and they may not make next year's. And by the way, they'll be the first to tell you that. So honoring them now is extremely important. As the son of a World War II vet, I can tell you that. It's 7:22. We'll take a quick break, come back. MVPP still to come. And then more with John Leonard Sims. Of all the people in the room today, he's the only Army Ranger. More in a moment on 7:20 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
the most valuable person on the planet.
And then more with John Sims and Mark Slaby coming up. This is sort of Update Tuesday, as Brian Wallach, a previous guest on the program, joins us as the most valuable person on the planet. I forgot, were you MVPP last time, too? Are you like a double MVPP?
I am, Steve. I'm grateful. Didn't think it would have happened, but grateful.
Do you want to thank the little people that helped get you here?
You know, they left us so long at this one time. But I, you know, when we talked last time, we had literally just launched IMALS, and I'm actually really excited to say that we crossed over 16,000 members of our online community as of this week. And so it's been an amazing 5 months of actually being able to bring the message of hope and possibility that seized us shortly after my diagnosis to those that never thought they'd be in ALS right before. And so I'm sitting here smiling and grateful to you guys for shining a light on us then and, of course, now.
Brian co-founded I Am ALS. It's a patient-led, patient-centric movement, kind of reshaping the public understanding of the disease. And to let people know, it doesn't just hit old folks. It doesn't just hit people that are of a particular health condition. It can hit you at any time. And we need as much money poured into research as fast as we possibly can. ALS can literally strike anywhere at any age. But the diagnosis doesn't have to be hopeless. I got to say, you sound great.
You know, thankfully, I'm one of the lucky ones. If I was in the studio with you guys, you'd see a bit more of a limp. But other than that, I'm actually doing pretty well for being about 2 years into this fight.
What do we know, by the way? Is activity helpful? Is the more you move, the more you do helpful in fighting this?
So the short answer is it depends a lot on who you were at the time you were diagnosed. So I was actually lucky to be a former college athlete who worked out all the time around the age that I was diagnosed. So for me, continuing to work out but working out in a smart way so I don't actually destroy my muscles but preserve them has been a really important part of the fight. but as you pointed out, Steve, it affects every age. So every person is going to have a different reaction. Every person needs to have a different kind of way to treat their disease. And that is both a difficulty in combating ALS, but also a real possibility because it means that the advent of personalized medicine, which we've seen in oncology and other spaces, really has a chance to help us turn the tide in this fight in a way that we couldn't have 10 years ago.
Talk about the caregivers and the families involved, because obviously it's a fight they're involved in too.
And they are amazing. You know, I think when I was on last time with the guys, I said that I married way above my pay grade, mm-hmm. and every day that belief becomes reinforced as I watch my incredible wife help me and our family deal with the changes that AOS brings. And as we travel around the country and actually around Chicago, we've met the most amazing folks who deal with this disease on a day in day out basis and do so with, I don't want to say sort of a smile and hope, but a resolve and a tenacity that just makes you think, whatever difficulty I'm confronting in life, I can deal with it because they're dealing with way, way worse than I am right now.
It's amazing, too, when you think about it, because your fight is a very serious one. But the fact that you can look at others and go, look, I got no problems. And that's God stuff to me. So good for you. Sandberg, say hi.
Hey, Brian. So I know over the weekend there was the largest high-intensity interval training thing at Wrigley Field, you know, which all the money went to ALS, which had to be pretty cool for you to see. There's also an initiative that you can click on from the IMALS.org website. You Shop, We Give. There's an interactive map where you can say the area you shop in, and they'll let you know where that what people are participating in. They're
going to give money back.
They're going to give money to ALS. So that's a cool. You're going to shop anyway, so you might as well do it at a place that also has some interest in helping spread awareness of this disease. Brian, what are your kids up to for the summer?
They're going to be at camp, so they are turning 2 and 4, so they're in that adorable stage where the 4-year-old does something and the 2-year-old wants to do it as well.
Sure.
So they'll both be hanging out at camp this summer as we, you know, enjoy all that Chicago has to offer in those beautiful 6 months where it's not snowing and windy and cold.
I didn't know there was a 2-year-old camp.
Oh, yeah.
You can go to camp when you're 2.
If they can run around somewhere, they'll find a way to do it.
It's got to be great for you, too. Congratulations on the website that Sandberg mentioned, IMALS.org. It's great. I don't know who's doing that end of it for you, but they're doing a great job. And easy to navigate. And the You Shop We Give, it's that simple. It's an important button to click on, so we hope you'll help today. Help in any way you can. Help if you're healthy, help if you're not, and do whatever you can. And obviously, the various events you guys do, volunteering is an important part of this, too.
And I think when we signed up in January, Brian, you were just trying to grow the community. And I know, you know, as far as, so you're just asking, you're not even, I mean, great if you want to give money, but we just want to grow the community. Isn't that correct?
We do. And one of the amazing parts about You Shop We Give is that it actually is a collective action between IMALS, the Les Turner AOS Association, or Les Turner AOS Foundation, the MDA Chicago chapter, and the AOS Association Chicago chapter. So, you know, being able to bring together all these groups, being able to bring together the city of Chicago and actually show that we can lead this fight has been an incredible thing. And to go back to that Saturday workout class, I got to tell you guys, walking to Wrigley and seeing the bleachers full of people, that is a amazing sight that I will never forget. And that's the kind of moment that gives you hope that we not just can, but will find a way to defeat this thing and that Chicago will help lead the way.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, I salute you and Sandberg wanting to just get the word out. I'm more interested in getting money. So we want people to click on that subtle donate button on IMALS.org if you can and give whatever you can. God bless you, Brian. You're doing great work.
Well, thank you, guys. Stay strong and look forward to hopefully talking to you in another 5 months.
Absolutely. No question about it. Brian Wallach. That's a guy in a fight for his life who's out there fighting for other people.
Yeah, not one bit of a why me, poor me.
Nope, not at all. So amazing. And again, his wife, as he said yeah. I married well above my pay grade. So she sounds like an amazing woman, too. It's 7:34. We're back with the headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
It is 7:45. Talking with my friend Mark Slaby, Patriot Education Fund. It's a year-round event. The big golf outing is on Tuesday, but that's just one day out of the year, which, and a big day, don't get me wrong, but one day out of the year where all efforts are put forward to try to make sure that our serving military members, those who have come home, and their family members, including those who have lost family members in the service of this country, are able to achieve their education dreams. And in studio is John Leonard Sims, Army Ranger, deployed three times in Afghanistan, the 75th Ranger Regiment. I received the Combat Infantry Badge and the Ranger Tab. Brother was in the military as well, as we talked about.
He was in that other branch that we won't
mention. Yeah, the lesser branch. Yeah. Is that how it works?
It's something like that.
Yes. And I want you to talk a little bit about what the Patriot Education Fund means to you.
So, on my third deployment to Afghanistan in the summer of 2016, I decided I was going to apply to Columbia University. And as I was going through the application, I really got a sense of how much it was going to cost. And I think most guys in the military have this understanding of the post 9/11 GI Bill that, you know, it covers all the expenses, which it doesn't, especially for private schools, or if you're going to do a master's program or anything that's more expensive than just a regular state.
But there's
school.
Guys who sign up every day who think, I'll get college out of this.
Right. And the understanding is it's, you know, completely paid for, but it's not. So as I'm going through the application, and once I got accepted, I realized that I was looking at around $50,000 in debt after the GI Bill. So that's when I started looking for other funds to help, you know, cover that gap. And that's when I learned about the Patriot Education Fund, applied, received the scholarship. And since I've received the scholarship, I've had, you know, my financial woes are, you know, much less. I can dedicate my entire, you know, time to my studies. I don't have to worry about having a job. It's really made a huge difference in my, you know, academic career.
So you can focus on the stuff you need to focus on.
Right. And it's a very, you know, academically challenging school, so I need as much time as possible. And the Patriot Education Fund makes that possible.
Mark, is that what you hear a lot from folks who were beneficiaries of these scholarships?
Yeah, I mean, John's story is the parallel that we always are trying to strive for. I mean, he's a great example of why we are making these investments. And the feedback we constantly receive is, I couldn't do this without you at the level that I'm doing in terms of the quality of attention and focus to my studies. And remember, we're trying to ensure that they go on for generations after they graduate to continue to give back to our community and our country. And John's a great example of that.
You know, we saw Robert Smith, the business tycoon, pay for the student loans of everybody at Morehouse University in Atlanta. And it's a national story. It's a global story, and it should be. But what you do every year and what the organization does every year is equally huge, because you change the lives of people. Now, I always make you tell the story, but I think it's an important story to tell. There is a Patriot Education Fund scholarship winner who is now doing quite well in his own life. So tell that story.
So it's a great story. It's a gentleman who, Purple Heart recipient, Navy SEAL, and several years ago, he called me. I remember it very well. It was a Friday night, and he called me up and he said, I just got a great job, and we're looking at our budget, our family's budget, and we're seeing this line item here, Patriot Education Fund, and it was $10,000, high-quality investment, as we've mentioned. And he said, my wife and I sat down, and we want to give this money back instead of using it to pay off our school endeavors. We're going to give this back to the next generation that falls behind us in school. And I remember it very well, because I can assure you, he needed that money. But because he was able to afford this great opportunity and have a career path, he felt very strongly, as I think John and others have demonstrated consistently, that I want to help out my brothers and sisters behind me. And think about that kind of human being that makes that decision.
Well, and think about the kind of person that he is, but could be maxing out your potential in life because of the opportunity given to him by the Patriot Education Fund. So he's smart enough to realize, hey, this might hurt a little bit right now, but I'm blessed to have this great job. I remember you telling me the story initially. I wasn't surprised, but it's so cool that it happened.
And it was a lot of money. It was $10,000. Yeah. And I remember a private conversation that I had with his wife, and she said, you know, at the time that we were getting involved in your program, it really pulled everything together. We are so grateful, and it made a difference to allow him to secure the job that he had, because he was able to go on and get his MBA as well.
Well, I think that's, and John, you correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes just it's not even just the money. It's knowing that somebody's there thinking about that you're going to be up against a struggle or a challenge, and then you're supported by this group, and it frees up your mind of stress. While the money is important, but it's like the example you're just saying is those people, they're allowed to make it a little tighter for themselves because they had the comfort or, you know, the support going in. So,
and we've really focused on mentorship. And to this example, this particular student, he was mentored by no other than Jim Skinner, chairman of Walgreens, you know, someone who's been very supportive of our efforts. He's a Navy veteran. And, you know, these are the quality individuals who are continually getting involved in our program. They're giving back through not only funding, but mentorship of individuals like John.
Will we see John at the outing?
He actually will be back in school.
Oh, please. you and your priorities. John Leonard Sims, again, thank you for your service to this country. I wish you nothing but the best, but I know you're going to do great things with Columbia and beyond, and I hope you'll stay in touch with us.
Thank you.
Mark, before we run out of time, hit me with a couple of sponsors that have helped out.
Sure. So, again, for more information, everyone can go to patrioteducationfund.org. We want to thank all the sponsors who make our golf event at Medina Country Club possible. Advanced Resources, Arlington Cigar Lounge, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Seller Angels, DeVry University, GCG, Geeks Chicago, Hilton Garden Inn, Jewel Osco, of course, PGA Superstore, Tito's, and WGN. We couldn't do it without you. And Jim Cornelison's come on out, and he always sings the national anthem Blackhawk style, and we're grateful for everyone's continued support.
You'll be able to see Jim Cornelison up close as the veins pop in his forehead, and we worry about him going down as he hits the high notes. I hope everybody can come out. So we'll see you on Tuesday. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
One more time on the website.
PatriotEducationFund.org. And thanks again for the Masters of Ceremonies effort for 10 years following. You've done a great job.
Listen, if you could find somebody better, you would have found them better.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I really want some yogurt. Well, not exactly yogurt, but it has a taste of yogurt and also kind of look like yogurt. The shape should be like yogurt. Some people would think it's yogurt, but with a closer look at my yogurt, you'll discover it's not yogurt.
Banana. Vanilla. Strawberry.
Put it in your mouth.
Yogurt. Papaya.
That's what I'm adding.
Yesterday, Jay Bennett's yogurt was stolen. Well, actually, it's Friday, I guess. Your
Friday.
Yogurt was stolen.
Mm-hmm. I just stewed about it all weekend.
So, I'm catching up on Barry, the HBO show about a lovable assassin. And in the HBO show, they're trying to solve a murder. And they, detectives, as you have seen in a million cop shows and cop movies, they do individual shakedowns where they'll bring in suspects one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk to them. And then they narrow it down from there.
Sure.
So, and there's a thing called a murder board that detectives put up where they try to determine who the suspects are, how they might be related, and then you take them down as appropriate. I think we need a murder board for yogurt, the yogurt thief. I think we put up all the suspects, we start eliminating.
It's a great idea.
So, because we got to get to the bottom of this, because if we have a problem with a thief in the building who's willing to steal your yogurt, good God, what are their next crimes going to be?
I mean, it's what they call, you know, just the first step.
That's
right?
It.
And then
that's
it leads
it.
To...
It's a gateway crime.
It is. It's
that's
a
what
gateway
it is.
Crime.
So, are you talking about the murder board where you have the red yarn going from people to...
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I'm in on that.
You're in on it? Beautiful.
Yep.
All right. That'll I'll see you after the show.
Yep.
All right. News coming up. Steve will do that in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
London nights are tough. Strange young town. London nights are tough. Brought me down. Dimp like your new face.
More on entertainment's gone international. As Dean Richards joins us live from London. Woo! Live from London. Woo! Hello?
Steve, it makes perfect sense today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Your bad impersonation makes perfect sense. I am right across the street from Buckingham Palace.
Oh, don't let Dean in. He's a moron.
I am... And just to add to the, I understand that the Queen is actually here today as well. So, you know, I'm sure she's going to want to come outside. And, you know, I don't know, can she knight us? You know, if it's a moron knighting.
Yeah, but you know how the knighting process normally works? You drop the one knee and the sword is tapped on each shoulder and then on the top of your head. In your case, yeah. She'd just smack you with it.
that would be oddly appropriate. But here's the part that adds to the extra excitement of it all. Mm-hmm. Not only am I just right across the street from Buckingham Palace, but I am looking at some of the armed guards outside with what appear to be high-power machine guns. So I am going to be on super good behavior today.
Well, there's a thing that goes on in London, and I think you know this, when the Queen is in residence, when the Queen is in the palace, there's a signal. There's a way the locals recognize it, and I believe you brought it up yesterday. A giant neon crumpet lights up right in front of the palace.
That's right. That's exactly correct.
So that's the thing you have to keep an eye out for. Your video is all over Channel 9 this morning of you talking to Elton John. How was that conversation?
Well, it was interesting. He didn't actually walk the carpet. He got out of I think it was a Lamborghini, some ridiculously expensive car, mm-hmm. at one end of the carpet, and then instead of walking the carpet the way celebrities normally do, he got on a blinged out golf cart. And slowly drove the, it was actually a blue carpet, not a red carpet, but he slowly drove it, and waved. And at the end of the carpet is where he talked a little bit.
Can I ask how far the walk was?
I don't know, 100 yards. Wasn't that far? He was limping. In his defense, he was limping.
So that's my thing. I'm wondering if he's had some sort of injury, and if his entire concerts that he's performing upcoming will be while sitting at the piano.
Well, it's entirely possible. I'd like to think that he was avoiding me.
Dean, did the golf cart have a plastic dome over it, like the Pope Mobile?
Oh, good call.
No. Did not have a dome over it.
Well, that's because Jim Toronto's not there. If Jim Toronto had been in country, they would have been like that.
I think they felt like it was safe. Since Jim was not in the country, they felt that it was safe to not have the bubble. But there was a golf cart that was all Elton John, blinged out. It said Rocket Man on it. I mean, it was all, pretty fancy schmancy.
How about Bernie Taupin? Did you talk to Bernie?
I did talk to Bernie Taupin, which was super cool.
Right,
the first time that I've ever talked to him. He was the co-writer of all the great Elton John songs, and talked about when they were young men and his favorite songs, and it was actually a terrific interview. We had a great time talking with him. Andy Serkis, who from the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yep.
He was on the carpet, super nice guy. We've always had nice interviews with him, talking about his, the place of Elton John music in popular culture, which was very interesting. My favorite interview on the carpet last night was Boy George.
Oh.
He was on hand because they had to have one guy at the event last night to go, Elton John's not that flamboyant.
Shouldn't he be known as Older Man George by now?
He really is. He really is a little past the boy stage. That's mm-hmm. very true. Fabulous eye makeup on Boy George. He made He makes Lady Gaga, look like nothing.
Makes her look reserved.
All the makeup that he had on last night. But he was fun. He's. Have you ever talked to him?
Oh, many times.
In Chicago.
Many times. Back in the disc jockey days, he used to come through and promote his records, and he'd be in full makeup at 8 a.m.
Guess how old Boy George is.
Got to be 50.
Dean, do you have a guess?
I would guess about 50-ish, yeah.
Oh, he's older than that,
yeah.
I think.
He's going to be 58 on June 14th.
Yeah. Wow.
He's the same age as Steve Cochran.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And does Dean recognize my eye makeup?
Nope.
Never.
Never compliments your eye makeup.
Never.
Never said anything. That's not a good friend.
Oh, what about security? It appears Boy George has crashed the gates again. So would you describe this vehicle that Elton John was in as sort of a souped-up version of a Walmart scooter?
No. It was probably very similar to golf carts that you've spent most of your life on.
Were there clubs in the back?
That'd be hilarious.
There were no clubs. There were no questions, but it was Elton was there and waving, and his husband David was sitting next to him, and they had a very nice time. Bryce Dallas Howard, who plays Elton John's mother in the movie, She was there last night. Taron Egerton, who plays Elton in the film, of course, he was there. I talked with him on the red carpet briefly also, and it was kind of interesting. I mean, it's this movie is going to put him on a different level. This movie is so good, and he's going to be viewed on a completely different level from now on. But, you know, I said, so how are you doing? You know, you stepped out of the car. People are chanting your name, Taron, Taron. You know, people are going wild. I said, how does that feel? And he looked embarrassed. He looked a little awkward with the whole thing. He said, honestly, this whole thing is a little exhausting. I don't know how to completely take it. It's a little overwhelming for me.
Well, that was very honest.
Which I thought was really, really interesting response, really.
He's going, you know what, Dean, I'm super tired. Can I just lay down right here?
You know what, I think he would have been happy to just climb on the other side of the carpet with us and, you know, sit down and relax a little bit.
Well, you know, I mean, look, it's not coal mining, but there is a lot of stress and being in front of crowds nonstop and answering questions day after day after day. I know it's hard for people to understand.
You know what that's like when you go to the Jewel, that's what it's like for Steve when he goes to the Jewel.
I was thinking back when I made Grumpy Old Men as the crucial character of Weatherman, and, I mean, the questions never stopped.
Somebody from the 773 said Elton sprained his ankle, and that is correct. I've looked into it. He sprained his ankle.
No, Elton has a boo-boo.
Yeah, so.
Boy, he will do anything to not talk to me on the carpet. Some people.
I understand there's other news there that you've probably picked up on. The anniversary of, first anniversary of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Were you invited to some sort of party, a royal shindig for them?
No. No, they're celebrating their anniversary privately. But, Steve, I was... it's so interesting. Right across from one of the most famous buildings in the world, Buckingham Palace, literally across the street, you know, two car lengths away, about 25 souvenir stores selling Harry and Meghan chocolates, Harry and Meghan salt and pepper shakers, Harry and Meghan commemorative canisters of tea. Harry and Meghan, like, they're not exactly, what do you call those things with the wobbly heads on them?
Bobbleheads. Yeah.
Bobblehead, yeah. They're not exactly bobbleheads. They're like little miniature versions of bobbleheads of Harry and Meghan. When you shake them, their whole upper body shakes back and forth. So you can see that they're taking the whole royal wedding and this, you know, new union in the royal family very, very, very seriously.
No question about it. And the souvenirs you can get there are fantastic. You can get some of the tackiest crap you wouldn't believe if you go to Piccadilly Circus or any of the gift shops there. You think, oh, it's London. It's all very classy. Not even close. What are you kidding me?
Not even,
So, and I understand that Prince Charles is meeting with Donald Trump when he comes over. What are you hearing about that from your reporting on the street, Dean?
Yeah, nothing. if Donald Trump's not in the Elton John movie, I haven't heard one word about it.
All right, so what's your plan today? I know you're flying back, but that's not till later?
Actually, I'll be flying back very early tomorrow morning. And then I'll arrive tomorrow afternoon and be back on the air on Thursday. Today we're talking with James McAvoy today.
Okay.
With Michael Fassbender, with Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones. They're all in the new X-Men movie that's called Dark Phoenix. So we're going to chat with all of them today, bring those interviews back, and like that.
Well, you sound like you didn't get a lot of sleep. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good enough.
It's Dean Richards live from London.
On entertainment. We're good enough.
Yeah, we're good enough. More on entertainment. Just good enough.
That's our slogan. That's good enough.
Yes, it really is.
You know, Steve, it's very exhausting, Steve, driving on the left-hand side of the road, steering wheels on the right-hand side of the car.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's enough to drive you nuts.
As I've told Paul Coit many times, is it any surprise you lost the war? And he said, let it go. It's 300 years ago. What are you talking about? All right, so here's what we need. We need you to bring back some really tacky souvenir so we can give it away on the show or feature it on the show.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Yeah, that okay. is. Believe me, there's. Is it okay if it's X-rated? Because I've run into a few unexpected X-raters. Let me just say it's a bottle opener, but it's the bottle openers are attached to something really
inappropriate.
Dirty.
Yeah, no. Listen, I would prefer it if it was X-rated. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I can do that.
That's Dean Richards. He's live in London. Hey, by the way, we have listeners in London. And if you're looking for Dean now, he looks like Billy Joel. And he's wandering the streets of London. He's kind of blurry-eyed because he's tired. And he's buying pornographic souvenirs.
Right. He's carrying a bottle opener that doesn't look necessarily like a bottle opener.
Oh, this is such a weird job, isn't it? Come on. What's coming up at 8:30?
Steve, I noticed your makeup, by the way. I didn't want to let
that go. Thank you very much.
Nice smoky eye this morning. Very nice.
Thank you.
Can I give you one little royal story?
Sure.
I don't know if you guys talked about it, but Prince George, you know, wore these cute little red and white shorts when he was first born.
It's a good-looking kid.
And his little brother is now wearing them.
Oh, hand-me-downs.
They're using hand-me-downs in the...
Oh, little Louis.
Yeah, Louis is wearing the same shorts.
So cute.
Which I didn't...
Well, that's tough. I didn't realize the royal family needed to start doing a hand-me-down thing.
Right. Isn't that cute that they're...
And they can pass them down to Archie.
Yeah.
Does little George still look like Spanky from Our Gang?
He so did. He's such a great face.
He did.
And I don't know the answer to that. You know, his dad was a really cute kid. He's not so cute a grown-up. So...
Same like Grandpa.
The ravages of aging. Steve, I have several stories that you may be interested in. One is Taco Bell's opening a Taco Bell-themed hotel in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Another is that Dunkin' Donuts is doing Dunkin' Coffee nail polish, where you can get nail polish in your favorite scent and flavor.
Mm, that one sounds a little dangerous.
Here's the one that I thought would interest you most. New York's incredibly popular cookie dough shop is coming to Chicago this summer.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
You know about this?
Yeah, I don't, but I want to hear about it.
All right. Chicago's going to be able to get some of New York's popular edible cookie dough all summer long. Cookie dough! An Instagram famous shop with locations in Greenwich Village and the Mets home field, City Field, is doing a pop-up at Navy Pier this weekend.
How long will you wait in line for cookie dough at this pop-up?
Can you imagine if you waited for a Zingerman sandwich and cookie dough? It'd be 8 hours. It'd be like working a full day. The Chicago location is a standalone kiosk near the base of the Ferris wheel, and they'll have an abbreviated menu of the popular items, but it's got to be just a matter of time before it comes here. They serve scoops of different flavors of cookie dough ice cream, cookie sandwiches, and ice cream sandos. I don't know what that is. Raw cookie dough shops are one of the country's trendiest food operations. And it's nothing but good for you, right? Isn't it healthy?
Well, that's the question. I think they're probably using cookie dough that has been pasteurized.
Yeah, you can't have the eggs in it.
Because you can't have the other stuff. I know people that have gotten
sick. So it's healthy in that it's not salmonella creating. It's not healthy. Like, it's not. Well, I don't think that's. We had that young lady who has the place down in Champaign that does donations. And hers is edible.
It's, that's the thing. That's the only way you can do it.
Though I eat my cookie dough all the time when I make my cookies, and I've never gotten sick from it. But I know you can't.
Yeah, you
got to
eat the cookie dough, especially the mixer.
No, I did not know this. There's something called Scoop Cookie Dough Bar at Water Tower Place. Opened last summer.
Okay. I have not been there yet.
To huge fanfare. But again, if you're looking for a light meal, something to just, you know, get you over till dinner time.
Low calorie.
Yeah, what is cookie dough? Is it a dessert? Is it just a snack? What is it?
I believe it's a gift.
I think if I could tell you, I hang out with a lot of 15-year-olds with my stepdaughter, and they would consider it a meal.
A meal?
Yeah, there's a lot of cookie dough that gets consumed.
Well, in the summertime, I think it's perfectly okay once a week to skip dinner for ice cream. I think it's perfectly okay.
Oh, I'm on board with that, too. Yeah.
Come on, please. Some of the flavors that will be available or could be available, these are at least the flavors from the cookie dough store in New York. Obviously, chocolate chip. There's cake batter. There's sugar cookie. There's something called Dunkadoo, which is sugar cookie, vanilla icing, sprinkle dust, and graham crackers.
That sounds great.
That sounds amazing.
Brookie dough, which is chocolate chip and brownie batter.
Mm.
Gimme s'more. That's a Hershey bar, toasted marshmallows, and graham crackers. Salty and sweet, sugar cookie, salted caramel, dark chocolate chips, and sea salt. You know, I've always maintained if you could drop this type of thing on enemy territory, we wouldn't have any wars. And if you prefer to go right for the top, heavenly sugar cookie, Nutella, chocolate chips, caramel bits, and sea salt.
Oh, boy.
Sea salt is big
wow.
now.
Yeah.
What was Steve Grzanich's t-shirt slogan earlier this morning? Sandwiches made by the...
Grisandwich?
There was somebody's nickname yes. for me, Grisandwich.
Yeah, but he said that these people were doing like God's work or whatever with the sandwiches.
Yes. I don't remember, but I do remember laughing.
We were going to franchise it, and now we
don't. Something about sandwich, good people, the people who eat sandwiches are good people or something like that.
And if you're looking, I'm always looking for something healthy to eat in the morning, oatmeal M&M cookie dough. It's got the oatmeal and the M&Ms.
Dave, you'd eat that. It's got oatmeal.
No, I would consider at least mm-hmm. tasting it. Whatever happened to just cookie dough? I mean, why?
Yeah, why
isn't
flavor
cookie
it?
Dough good enough?
No.
Just put the chocolate chips in it and you're good.
Speaking of chocolate chips, the chocolate dream, this may be your winner, brownie batter, Oreo cookies, and chocolate chips.
That sounds amazing.
Cookie dough.
Michael Heidemann reminding me that the t-shirt was the sandwich people are a peaceful people.
Your headlines are next at 720 WGN.
Hi, Chicago. I just want to take a moment to congratulate our outstanding new mayor, Lori Lightfoot, along with the entire city council on starting a promising new chapter for the greatest city in the world.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, I owe Mary Ann.
I think I've made it clear how big a Marianne Ahern fan I am. Nobody works harder than she does. Plus, she's seen it all, man. She has seen all of it. At this point, she's developed, I'm sure, an inner eye roll to stop all of them. There's nothing a politician could say to her that she hasn't heard before. But what was her take on yesterday's Lori Lightfoot inauguration? First, here is the hardest working woman in the politics covering business, Marianne Ahern. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, right? You've seen it all.
Well, I hope not. I mean, that's what makes this job so great. I don't want to say that I've seen it. I love going to work every day. If I feel like I've seen it all, then I think you get sort of like, who cares? I care. I think it's great.
No, I don't mean you're burned out. I mean, there's nobody that can put anything over on you.
I hope not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You do have at a news conference at times, you have that sort of, wait a minute, what are they really talking about here?
Right.
I don't think this is, yeah.
Right. All right, so let's start with the inauguration itself. I thought she was very human. Lori Lightfoot, was very human. I thought she was really good in the moment. But my favorite part was when she basically challenged the alderman to try her. Talk about that.
Well, there was the federal prosecutor. It was almost delivering that closing argument at a trial. I mean, when you look back at what she did and saying from the start of it of, hey, Chicago ain't ready for reform. Yes, we are. And then turning around and looking directly at them and saying, no, long business as usual.
Right.
They were dying. Yeah, that was great.
Well, that was a very cool moment. And is she in any way... well, she's a human being. She's got to be. She's got to be freaking out a little bit, isn't she?
Well, she had planned to do morning interviews at all the TV stations that they called back later in the day and said, you know what? She's a little tired. We're going to give her a day.
Right.
So, yeah, I got to think so. And here's the other part of it. I talked to a couple of other politicians who, not just the ones who didn't like what she had to say, but they said, whoa, you go scorched earth on day one. Where do you go day two? So you do have to be, she's still going to work with these guys. Now, are these conversations she needs to have privately? Or do you constantly in public say how rotten they all are?
Well, see, I'm of a theory that those politicians who know how to properly get their message out to the media by telling truth to reporters about what's really going on are those that are the most successful because honesty wins.
Well, and in this case, let's see where it all goes, because Scott Wagesback, if he does become chairman of finance, has been the one for years, one of the first to say the parking meter deal sucked. And it's been, the rest of them think he's an obstructionist, but he's the quiet guy in the background reading the papers, reading, you know, all of the forms that they just blindly signed and has been raising the hand going, wait a minute, this isn't such a good deal.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about the history made yesterday, and history is very important, don't get me wrong. But, if we hear the first black woman, the first lesbian mayor again, I think we're done talking about that. Let's talk about the fact that she's got to be up to the job now. I salute the diversity, the fact that Anna Valencia and the treasurer, Melissa Conyers-Irvin, are there. But we need the best people for the jobs. And now it's up to Mayor Lightfoot to make sure that she's got those people in those jobs that are within her realm of control.
Absolutely. And you know, even just dealing with us, the press, it is not exactly all roses already. I mean, we're having a little bit of a rocky time saying, wait a minute, we've got this question to answer us. They're not as fast, of course, as the army that Rahm Emanuel had.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, Saturday there was something that she was at, and one of our crews was late, and I called our desk and said, hey, guys, how'd you miss this? And they're like, to tell you the truth, it's because the Rahm people weren't calling us five times. Are you coming? Are you here yet?
Oh,
where are
funny.
You? You
know, that's funny.
You know, so I said, well, those days are over. Yeah, she's not going to have that same PR army, I don't think.
So did anything yesterday surprise you? Not that you know, like I said, they're not putting anything over on you, but did anything surprise you?
The calling out directly of the council, yes, yes. I didn't know she was going to lay the gauntlet down quite that
right,
hard.
Right.
And watching them squirm was fantastic. You know, the alderman sat there for a while, and when you saw it turn into almost a pep rally with the crowd cheering, some of them all, you know, they reluctantly started to stand up and clap as well. But you know darn well they were mad.
Now, Steve Grzanich brought up something this morning as a city resident forever. Aldermanic privilege has had a positive place in a lot of these districts, and that is that when things are of a borderline emergency nature, we know the 311 line isn't going to get it done. Aldermen can get it done. Are they talking about parsing it in a way where the alderman will be delegated enough authority to do that without taking advantage of it?
Well, and if you listen to some of them, Alderman Beal said this isn't worth the paper it's written on. This is going to be a process. What they're trying to block is what happened with Ed Burke and the Burger King drive-in,
yeah, right,
you know, drive-right. And so, you know, yes, she signs this executive order. Now let's see how they implement it. It's going to take every city department. When one alderman calls up and says, hey, I don't want this to happen, is every single one of those employees going to listen and say, oh, we've got a new rule here. I don't have to do what you've told me to do. I think we've got a learning curve on this.
Yeah, because the aldermen, the way the system's set up, Steve, the aldermen are supposed to be able to step up and take care of their districts in a positive way without taking advantage of it. Stop giggling. But, you know, maybe it takes something like Lori Lightfoot's challenge yesterday to know that we're not just going to look the other way at City Hall.
Yeah, maybe more oversight is the key here, and maybe that's going to be the part of the process that leads to the reform aspect. People will be watching closer.
Absolutely. And let's see what happens at this very first city council meeting. That's when, and I believe it or not, I know it seems like I've been covering this forever, but I wasn't covering it with Harold Washington yet.
Right.
They say it was the very first city council meeting where the allegiances were set. We're going to see that next Wednesday on the 29th when they start taking these votes. Even Scott Wagasbeck has said, I think I've got the votes. So he's not, you know, even 100% sure that he's going to be the new finance chair. If that doesn't happen, all of this kind of crumbles. So I've got to think they know how to count, and they wouldn't have put these names out ahead of time if they didn't have the support. But now let's find out what happens.
It's Marianne Ahern, Sandberg.
So, Marianne, I saw a cute picture on your Twitter of the carpool of you guys all heading around yesterday covering this. It's quite a team. Do you live for days like that?
It was like Super Bowl. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. You know, we had planned to go out at 9 a.m., and so we had lined up. I had texted, you know, several folks and said, hey, if there's a chance, would you stop by? Like Kathy Byrne, oh my gosh, she was fantastic. You know, 40 years ago, she was there with her mom. She told me a great story of being in the anteroom. They wore her in the city council chambers. And she said Jay McMullen and Jane Byrne and Mike Bolandic were sitting at a table. She was out in the council chamber. Someone ran in and got her and said, you've got to go talk to them. No one's talking to each other before the swearing in. So she ran, you know, they brought her over. She's this 19, 20-year-old kid. And she said, well, at least the weather's great today. Well, of course, that wasn't the right thing to say, since Blandick lost because of the weather. You know, it was
right.
So she, you know, it was that, all of it was great to see. We met the young students who came from Massillon, Ohio. who were there as young journalists. Yeah, I thought the whole day was really, really cool to see.
Yeah, and trust me, this comparison is not a bit. When Donald Trump was elected, as much as I'm against everything that Donald Trump is and it always will be, I said, we've got to give him a chance to do the right thing. Well, he blew that in about 25 minutes. Regardless of how you feel about Lori Lightfoot, if you're on the other side politically, she is the mayor of the city of Chicago, and we've got to give her the room to do the right thing. And she just needs to remember that she's the mayor of the entire city, not just the Democrats.
Right, right. And, you know, what she's new to this. I mean, yes, yeah. She has been a part of public life and certainly worked for two mayors, but she has never been in charge like this before. So folks are going to be watching really closely, and it's not going to be just the first 100 days, obviously, but these first couple of weeks are very important for her.
Where will you be driving your reporter Uber car today, where all reporters get into your car?
You know, and it was hilarious because actually it was a van for the camera equipment. So there was sort of this cage that looked like I was in the front seat on the way there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it looked as if the rest of them were in jail. You know,
very funny. Very funny.
Yeah.
Great talking to you, Marianne. Thank you.
Thanks always, guys.
Marianne Ahern from NBC5. I mean, honestly, Dave, nobody works harder than Marianne.
Nope.
You know,
knows every inch of the political scene in the city.
I used to tell Sapelsa, I said, if you worked harder, you might be as good as Marianne Ahern sometime.
Yeah, that's...
Not then he went to Montana.
Yeah, if you're on Twitter, Marianne is a must-follow. She should be right up on the top of the list
totally
of people
yeah.
following.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hush, my dear. 8:57. If you pay any attention to hockey, you know how much better Doc Emrick makes any hockey that he calls. I mean, I'd watch the Saskatoon Frostbites versus whomever.
Why wouldn't you?
If Doc was calling it.
Yeah, but especially because they're the Frostbites.
Right, right. So what award has he won now?
They ought to just name this after him. Doc Emrick won the Emmy Award for Outstanding Sports Personality Play-by-Play last night at the annual Sports Emmys in New York. It's the sixth consecutive year that he's won that award.
That's pretty amazing.
He's the best play-by-play guy, seventh time in the last nine. And what's really cool, Steve, is apparently at the ceremony he went up to accept, and he gave out his email address to any young aspiring broadcasters out there who would like to get hold of him.
That's tremendous.
I mean, that's such
tremendous.
A cool thing to do. But
and
it's,
why
but
am
it's
I surprised?
Not surprising.
Nah, it's exactly what we know of Doc to be.
Yep.
I just texted him, though. He's going to need another house for all of his awards. You know.
Well, he's also being inducted into the National Sports Media Association Hall of Fame, I think, here in a couple of weeks.
It's unbelievable. And I believe he loves it as much as he did the day he got in it.
Oh, it sure sounds that way.
Right?
Yes.
So he just makes that should be NBC's slogan. Doc Emrick makes hockey better. I mean, it's just that simple.
It is.
So we love you, Doc. And Doc listens to the show pretty much every day, we know, from Michigan. And you know what? We got a Stanley Cup coming up that may be the Bruins and the Blues. Seems like we're missing another team that starts with B there, but we'll be back. And I can't wait to hear Doc call it. I try to get Doc to come to the house to call me going out to get the mail. He's up from his chair. He hasn't made a noise. He's headed for the door. You know what I mean?
Skitters down the walk.
Yeah, exactly. 8:59. What's coming up? Steve Grzanich in the WGN newsroom right after this.
Children who look like me and come from families like mine shouldn't have to beat the odds to get education, pursue their passions, or build a family. Black and brown kids, low-income kids, every kid in this city should grow up knowing they can pursue anything. They can love anyone. That's my Chicago dream.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
9:12 now. Mayor Lightfoot in office, first full day today. Amara Enya is one of the up-and-coming names in Chicago politics. She is, amongst other things, a strategist, a policy wonk, a nerd. This, you called yourself a nerd, by the way. I'm not calling you names. Right, Amara?
I accepted it a long time ago.
Yeah. Problem solver, globetrotter, athlete, risk taker. I would also say a fashion trendsetter.
Really?
Yeah. You have a very nice sense of fashion. And trust me, that's not a great compliment
coming from you.
But you look great.
I'll take it.
Organizer, writer, dreamer, doer. All right, so listen. All those things are great, but I consider you to be one of the great voices of young Chicago. So how do you feel about Mayor Lightfoot, from the inauguration to the future?
I think this is it's a pivotal moment for the city. I've said I'm just looking forward to the promise of new beginnings in Chicago. And I think the inauguration yesterday, the new administration, the new city council, there's so much promise with this new beginning. So we can essentially write what that future looks like. And it's very exciting.
Do you have, I know I saw you tweeted out that you were excited to work with all the new people coming in. Is there anything that's first on your list that you want to get done?
Well, I think that, so there are a lot of city council members, many of whom are friends of mine that are new to the council. So Maria Haddon in 49, Byron Cito Lopez in 25, Matt Martin. And so I'm just excited about the strength that they are coming in to their terms with. These are individuals who have extensive track records of actually doing things prior to running for office. And so you're going to see that fervor continue and their willingness to be independent and to speak up and to push the issues that we care about. So I'm really looking forward to that. We've talked a lot about how to make sure that city council members have the support that they need, the orientation that they need, the resources that they need, both from a policy standpoint and just an information standpoint, so that they can be the most effective in what they do. So I'm looking forward to working with them in that regard. I'm also really excited about Candace Moore, who's a good friend of mine, and she also is named the first chief equity officer for the city of Chicago. That was something that I talked a lot about when I campaigned, although I said that it should be an entire department. But having her in the position, she's an attorney. I've worked alongside her in many different actions. She was responsible. She worked as part of a group with National Teachers Academy fighting to keep that school open. So it was really exciting to see her being named as the first chief equity officer for Chicago, which I think is a huge step in the right direction. So I'm looking forward to working with her as well.
Well, it's a great list. You mentioned city council. The need for city council to appropriately represent as opposed to represent for the benefit of whatever agenda that particular alderman or alderwoman might have is the key. What did you think of the challenge that the mayor threw out yesterday?
Well, she's made it very clear that business as usual is not going to be the case. Now, of course, everything is rhetoric until it happens, but I think she's sending a very strong signal to the council. But I also think, there was some pushback. Alderman Beal, who was actually a supporter of hers, was very strong, had some very strong feelings about her comments and the gauntlet being thrown down essentially for city council members. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the council responds to this new day and age. I think the newer members coming in, they're coming in already with the sense that the way things were is not sustainable and needs to change. But it'll be interesting to see how some of the incumbents, some of the older council members, more experienced council members react moving forward.
Yeah, I like Alderman Beal, and I've had him on many times, and I think he does very hard work. And I understand why it may be frustrating for the majority, I hope it's the majority, the aldermen who aren't playing the system to be thrown into a bucket of that. But you know what? If you're in Congress, you're in the same bucket. If you're in the state government, you're in the same bucket. And until you prove differently, the city council has not been trusted by the public because there's been too many bad apples.
Exactly. I mean, we're seeing that just the latest with the number of aldermen that have been involved in one scandal or the other. Some of them didn't make it across the finish line. So Joe Moreno, who's no longer the first ward alderman. But those sorts of things have done a lot to erode trust and the sense of good faith in our aldermen as a whole. And so the only way that you can move forward and rebuild some sense that this is a legitimate institution is by doing things differently. And I think Mayor Lightfoot knows that. And I think that's why she used her inauguration speech to send a very clear message to the aldermen that the way things happened before, business as usual, is not going to continue. So it's going to be interesting to see how
tangible change, what those tangible changes look like and what she's able to get done.
Or how long it'll take, you know, because sometimes like 4 years is a short time, not that she's only going to do four
Very
years,
but short.
It's short.
To change the culture, especially.
Exactly.
Yeah, we live in a time where everybody wants an instant answer to something.
Right.
Life is an Instagram,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
It takes a while. Put that on a t-shirt tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Life is an Instagram.
I'll add it to the collection.
Before we let you go, one of the major things we need from the energy of the youth in this city is to take it beyond social media and to actually vote, to vote in primaries and to vote in the general election. How do we bridge that understanding so people under the age of 30 don't say, well, I don't matter, or they just skip it entirely?
Yeah. One of the things that's going to be crucial moving forward is integrating the voices of young people in tangible ways, meaning all of these commissions, all of these boards, all of these departments, you actually have to integrate their voices in a very specific way. It can't be the sort of thing where after the fact you sort of run to put together a youth council after decisions are already being made, say, hey, we already talked to them. They've got to be integrated into the process. Most of the actions on all of the issues that we really care about, education, the economy, affordable housing, it's been young people that have led those fights. No one can deny that the energy and the activism has been driven by young people, and that's even if the voting numbers haven't been what we would want them to be, at least what I would want them to be. They still have been out there pushing the issue on the things that, quite honestly, forced the entire field of candidates that were running for mayor to engage in a very different way than we would have seen if we hadn't had that energy from young people organizing for 8 years
right.
under former Mayor Emanuel. So they've already shown that they're committed to doing the work and lifting up the issues. What the responsibility of leadership is to integrate them into where the decisions are being made at the front end of these issues as opposed to at the back end, and not sort of be dismissive of them and, oh, well, they don't vote, so they don't have a voice. No, because they've actually put skin in the game in many different ways, even if we didn't see in the last election that their vote totals were what we want. They've put skin in the game. And so there's some key things that I think we're going to need to do in leadership, especially with this new administration. So you're not just paying lip service to young people. You're actually listening to what they're saying. And the policies that are being put forth should reflect a lot of the organizing and activism that they've been doing for the last several years.
That's why we like having you on.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have you back. Chris, in the meantime, to follow you on social media, where do we do that?
Sure. On every platform, it's Amara Enya. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, of course. Amara Enya.
I saw some people on Twitter. They're trying to get Amara, the deputy mayor, buzz going.
Yeah, I like it. Works for Michael J. Fox on Spin City. Amara Enya, E-N-Y-A. All right, Amara, thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
You know, it's only been Tuesday. It's only Tuesday. When I'm done with Tuesday, it's been I'm tired.
And you just signed into office yesterday?
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, since Mary's going to be our new boss, Mary, can we just go home early?
No.
We should talk about that in a second, too. We'll come back with that. And also, what do you want to talk about? You know, Mr. The audience goes, Steve, I don't like what you're talking about. Well, then you come up with something. What have I got to do?
That sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, you can talk about sports. You can talk about politics. You can talk about this show. You can talk about Sandberg becoming a management weasel. You can talk about any of that.
Weasel.
Or anything. Anything at all.
Not all weasels are managers.
And aren't we supposed to call them weasels when they're not in the room?
Well, please, have we met? 312-981-7200. What, it's a brand new feature. I just started. Oh, yeah? What do you want? It's called, oh, yeah? What do you want to talk about? 312-981-7200. Call now if you'd like to get on the radio. 922, and we'll explain what we're talking about with Sandberg coming up, too. It's 925. Big O's coming up, as he does on most Tuesdays. Trying to explain the money in the world to us and see if the farmers have been able to plant anything in the last wet week. All right, so here's the deal. If you read Robert Feeder, and frankly you should if you have any interest in media in this town, Robert Feeder announced this morning that Sandberg, as I call her, because we have two Marys on the show, and Mary Vandeveld has squatting rights to the name, but Mary Sandberg is leaving the show, sort of. She's leaving the show to become
the director of news and operations. That sounds like an awfully fancy title. What does it mean?
It is quite a fancy title.
It means you're going to be the boss?
I'm going to be in charge of you, Steve.
Oh, no! Who said this coming?
Things will be the same as always.
So things will wrap. Things won't change. But I'm proud of you. I think it's great, and I think you're going to be great at it, and you're going to make the station better, but you're still going to be involved with the show, and we're going to figure that out later and then tell you. Because sure. I'd like to tell you I have the answer right now, but I don't know what it is.
Right.
In the meantime, this is something that you haven't had to deal with before. You'd had to deal with Dahl.
Mm-hmm.
You had to deal with who are the chuckleheads you worked with at B96?
B96, it was the Jay Show with Gabe and Shelley.
And I thought the way, maybe it was Todd in his memo, either Todd or Feeder, somebody talked about you working with either top flight or influential talent. Basically, it's another way to say pains in the ass.
Yes.
So did that help you, get ready for this, do you think?
It did. I think I've been told I manage personalities well, that usually means people that need a lot of personality management. So yes, that did. Everything I did before got me to this point, so I'm very excited.
Okay.
And I'm excited. I've always worked on a show. You know, I've always just been on shows, so this is fun to have my hand in a few different things.
And you help craft the future of this place, because as we become more and more of a digital operation as opposed to just a standard AM radio station, and that shouldn't frighten anybody, that's just the way of the world, and the Alexa is the house radio, and a lot of you listen in your car or on the app when you're walking around. We're going to need you to, figure all that out.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I love, some people, things are changing and they get nervous. I love change. I love disruption. Right. So I like it. Just for the record, Steve Grzanich, the most difficult host I've ever worked for.
Oh, come on.
Just kidding. He and I launched the opening bell together. Yeah. So.
And I have to tell you, the thing that I'm most excited about in that regard is the level of ideas and the push for guests that you don't think about having on all the time. So the level of guests, I hope, are going to improve, too, across the board here on the station, because Mary knows exactly where to find them, knows exactly. And we always joked when you were on the opening bell. Yeah. You had this knack of pulling off a guest right as something was trending.
I know. That was crazy.
Should I give up one of your secrets, by the way?
Sure.
Okay. If you're listening to the show and you're, John Williams or you're Bill and Wendy or Roe or any of the other talent on the station, you haven't dealt directly with Mary. If Mary says this to you, hey, what if you did this? That means you're going to do that. What if you did this means she's already made up the decision in her mind and you're going to do it. And it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. I'm looking forward to you being my number one supporter in getting everyone else on board with that.
No question. And also a continued problem child in your universe.
I'll manage your personality.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's really Dave is the issue. I think I've tried to explain that for a long time, but Dave really is the problem here on the show. Super Joe, am I right about that? Is it Dave? Super Joe keeps track of this stuff.
Yeah, I've written everything down. Mm-hmm.
I just have a tough time getting along with people.
Super Joe, this means a lot more pressure is going to be on you to make sure this show stays a highly rated money-making enterprise. How do you feel?
That's why I already put in my 2-week notice.
No, it's going to be great. And you got the fancy office?
I did, that was mentioned. I am getting that office.
Okay.
So, which is directly across from our current office. And I know there's going to be, some transition time. So I'm thinking of spending a couple hours in one office and then heading over to the other office.
Probably a good idea.
Back and forth.
Now, Stephanie Menendez, who had this job previously.
I think she's Stephanie Tishner now.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Of course. Yeah. That's a silly mistake.
No, that's okay.
Stephanie Tishner is now the, operations manager, whatever the title is at WLS. And she loves people. Yeah. Loves people.
Yeah.
Nothing
and costumes.
Makes, nothing, well, there's that too. Nothing makes her happier than having people around all the time.
Yes.
You don't dislike people. You like people, but you want to get stuff done.
Yeah. And you don't want them around.
So here's the difference. One of the primary differences. There's not going to be candy jars in her office like there was with Stephanie. Because Stephanie was a catnip. Yeah. It's like, if I keep the candy in here, people will come in.
She was entertaining.
Yes.
She could host a meeting and still invite people into the room for, more the merrier.
While she was texting.
Yeah. So there's that's a little bit.
And I funded that candy operation. It cost me thousands of dollars a year.
I want to know if you're going to have a lot of shoes.
I am not going to have any shoes either. Yes. I don't like having my personal effects.
Clothing will be laying around.
No clothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about decorating for holidays?
There's not going to be much decorating done on my part. So.
And are we going to kill costumes and Halloween?
I think that's a double hit here at WGN because Judy Pylak, were big on the decorating. So that's the.
It sounds like, this is the weird part. It sounds like you're expecting people to work.
I know. We're going to do some work. And the best feeling, what's more fun than costumes and parties and decorations is doing really good work.
Wow. You just made Paul Rennie very happy if he's listening. So
does that mean raises?
Well, let's do good work.
Yeah. And then we'll see where it goes from there. Yeah.
Instead of costume rental? Nice.
So here's the deal. Oh, by the way, whatever happened to Stephanie? Is she still in the business?
Yes, she is.
You just said where she was.
No, but I never hear from her. So
I know. Yeah, I don't know why. I hear from her quite a bit. So she congratulated me. Yeah. I love Stephanie.
So you're going to be great at this. And for people that love you on the show, you'll still be on the show.
Yeah.
I'm
still going to advocate for new appliances at Apt.
And I just want you to know my contract runs through the end of 2020.
Okay.
And when you and Todd decide to fire me, I hope you come up with a more creative way than the last time.
Than outside the bathroom?
Right.
Noted.
So. And Joe, I wish you luck in whatever you're going to do next.
Thanks, buddy.
9:32, your headlines are next at 720 WGN.
She is Mary Sandberg. She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg.
Well, I got my own plane. The fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans and pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Sandelson.
Ah, let's go right back to Big O. You heard just a second ago. Good morning, sir.
And good morning to you, too. I'll tell you, that weather forecast is one thing that farmers don't want to hear right now. Because we are at the slowest planting pace since 1980. Because, you know, if we do get dry weather, it lasts a day or two, and then the rains come again. I mentioned yesterday that drove from here up to La Crosse, Wisconsin over the weekend. Rained going up, rained coming back, and fields that should be starting to show corn rose underwater. It's really a situation that is challenging.
So the planting, growing, harvesting season exists in a time frame for a reason. How far back could it be pushed where you can really have a great year?
Well, we're at the point now where every day we do tend to lose yield per acre. And that's happening because, well, taking a look at the corn planting, 49% planted as of Sunday night. That compares to 80% planted over the five-year average. Soybeans, 19% planted as of Sunday night, and that compares to a five-year average of 47% planted. But, you know, we have three states in the Midwest. We call them the three I states, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana. And when you look at some of those numbers, Illinois, for example, 24% of the corn crop in the ground, and the five-year average, 89%. Indiana, 14% planted. Average 5 years, 73%. Iowa's been doing a lot better than Illinois, Indiana, on the other side of the Mississippi. Iowa reporting amount of corn planted at 70%, and that's down from 89% over the five-year average. So we now are, I would say, with every passing day, and as I've said, you know, we'll get a day or two of dry weather. That doesn't give the soil the opportunity to dry out, and you just can't put you can't put seeds into soil on 2 or 3 days of dry weather. It gets to be a real challenge.
And you've told me that through the years, technology's gotten much better about being able to work with bad weather, but there's some things you can't do because the equipment's too heavy and the tractors get stuck in the mud and all that.
Yeah, it creates all kinds of problem. And the thing is, when you work with wet soil, sometimes when it quits raining and really dries out, and that happens occasionally where a rainy spring like now will turn into a drought period in July and August, and you get a crust on top of the soil that really hampers the ability of a corn plant or a soybean plant to come out. So,
well, it's a hot mess.
It is. It really is. And, you know, looking at those fields along I-90 up to La Crosse over the weekend, I thought, with those ponds of water, they're not going to get that planted, because by the time it dries out, even if we had a week or a week and a half of dry weather without rain, still going to be tough to get in there and get it done.
Orrin Samuelson with us. By the way, I ran into somebody yesterday that said, remember to ask Orrin a question. This is not germane to the topic, but if I don't tell you now, my ADD will kick in and we won't remember. They said, who, in Orion's opinion, is the most authoritative or important news voice that's ever been on WGN radio? And I said, well, if anybody knows, Orrin would know.
Oh, golly.
You know, a news anchor or, you know, a reporter, when there used to be street reporters that ran out of here every 5 minutes. Does anybody come to mind?
Well, the man who was doing what I'm doing now when I arrived here in 1960 was Holland Engel. He was on the Mutual Broadcasting System. That's back when we were a mutual station. And he was very authoritative. He had a good voice and was very authoritative. And so, you know, I would put him up there. But we've had a lot of good talent covering news for us over the years, from Steve and all the other people that have done it for us. And so that's a tough one. But I do want to add my congratulations to Mary this morning.
Oh, stop sucking up, Orrin.
No, I'm not sucking up. I just got to say that watching all of you kids, including you, Steve, come into WGN over nearly, 59 years, we've been blessed with some good talent. And you have learned to not go to the bathroom, which is good.
Yeah, because I get fired every time I do.
Yeah, right, yeah. But just wanted to add congratulations to Mary, because she's good to work with, and I look forward to continue.
Oh, thank you so much, Orrin. That's very nice.
It's a big deal.
It means a lot coming from
Orrin. From Orrin Samuelson, that's a big, I mean, I could say anything to you. Who cares? That's Orrin Samuelson.
Orrin and I work really well together.
Well, you know, he's not hard to work with, unlike somebody else I know.
I try not to be.
All right, so let's move on to the money. The markets, you know, because of overreaction, appropriate reaction, depending on the day, to the trade war, have shown some real, real sell-offs. Where are we going today?
Today we'll probably end up higher because some traders perceive a softening of the tension between U.S. and China with the decision on the Chinese telecom company this morning to delay any further action until August 19th. So I think we'll move higher. But, you know, the trade war has been going now for about a year. And every day a new headline that sends the market this way, and then the next day a different headline that'll send the market lower. And traders react to that immediately. I think we need to wait until we get some kind of a solution, and we will. We'll get it worked out, but it's taking far longer for corporations and companies and farmers and ranchers than anybody really wanted. And so when that day comes, who knows? Maybe the market trades future news, and then when it happens, the reaction won't be quite there, because when China's pretty much cut purchases of U.S. soybeans, I thought, well, when we get some announcement of sales to China, we'll see a recovery. But that happened, saw very little recovery. But today, as I mentioned earlier, the weather is having the major impact on prices now, today. First of all, the winter wheat crop, which is ready to come out of the ground and start growing, and it's done that already to the south, is benefiting from the fact that rainy weather is delaying the potential of the early harvest. And then, as I mentioned, when you look at lower yields on corn and soybeans because of the late planting, then you have to retune your farming and your marketing operation. And that's why I wish people understood and appreciated more what farmers and ranchers do every day for us, because when you put up with the kind of market gamble and trade gamble and weather gamble It wears on you. It really
does. Well, I can imagine, and we've seen some of the farmers speaking out about it, to various media outlets locally and around the world lately, but the frustration is appropriate. You know, you're just trying to put a crop in the ground, get a fair price for it, and move on.
Absolutely. That's what they try to do every day, despite all of the rules and regulations and trade wars and everything else that happens. I don't know why they do it. I did it for 20 years as a kid, and I decided a lot easier to talk about it than do it.
Yeah, no kidding. But having said that, you being a spokesperson for the hardest working people in America is a big deal, so don't ever lose sight of that.
Oh, no. I don't know that I'm that influential, but I'll never stop talking on behalf of farmers and ranchers.
All the best, my friend.
And to you.
That's,
and to Mary and everybody else.
You mean everybody? I mean, yeah, in your case, you do. Yeah, he's a good guy. He means everybody.
Right, yeah.
I always have exceptions.
All the best, Big O.
Thank you.
That was Dave, by the way. I know you haven't met him, but he's a young broadcaster upcoming in the business.
Yeah, I watched him when he started, and I was impressed, and I'm still impressed. And I don't know what happened last night or yesterday with both teams, but go to work on it, Dave.
I'll
do my best.
Come on, thanks Big O.
She took over the Cochran Morning Show. Thank God. She worked with everyone to make it go her way. Her only focus now to make it grow.
Hold on. What's that? A brand new washer and dryer?
Ooh. The truth is, we're terrified.
She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. She is Mary, Mary, Mary.
DeCosta is good, isn't he?
She is Mary.
You know what, Steve? Most people are probably listening to this on AM radio, so they can't hear the depth that this song has when you have headphones on. But it's a multi-track.
That's another reason to get a job here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and listening to what we say when we're not on the air.
Right.
Important note here, John Hubbard spent his life carrying others, and after a life of service, including both World War II and 30 years in the Chicago Police Department, he suffered a stroke last month and died. He was 91 years old. There's no family members and friends, really, around to help give him the respect he so richly deserves and take him to his final resting place. He's going to be buried in Restvale Cemetery in Alsip, after a graveside memorial service scheduled for tomorrow at 11:45, and laid to rest beside his wife of 53 years who passed away in 2012. He will be carried to his grave by the men in the same uniforms he wore to serve his country and his city who never met him. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's a very cool touching thing. Yeah, it really is. So God bless you, John Hubbard, and thank you for everything you did for us. It is 9:59. Bill and Wendy in a moment. And Steve in the newsroom, the Northwestern Medicine newsroom after this.
My bagel was stolen, and I had to go to a company called LifeLocks.
LifeLocks?
Yeah. They're downtown.
The wheels are always spinning, aren't they?
That's not a bad idea. They have a satellite in Skokie, don't they?
Yes, they do.
LifeLocks?
Yes, they do.
Congrats to Mary Sandberg Boyle.
I didn't hear what
congrats. She got elected mayor.
She's your boss again.
I'm not the mayor.
She's not the mayor.
She's not the mayor?
I thought you were the mayor.
Somebody asked me, I think I said this on the air, well, how's that going to change for you? I go, well, not really. Well, it's not going to show quite as much.
I might borrow something from the mayor when she turned around and scared the alderman yesterday. I might put out a vibe like that initially.
Listen, I don't think you need to put out that vibe.
Yeah, it's already out there.
I think there's plenty of people in this building who are already afraid of you.
Wendy worked with me at my first job.
Yep. Looking forward to it again.
That's tremendous.
Congrats.
Thank you.
What are you guys doing today?
Did you talk about Tom Brady at all on the show?
Mm-mm.
Tom Brady, there's something I thought everyone on the planet had done, but Tom Brady says he's never done it, so we'll discuss that.
Watch the Brady Bunch?
No.
Am I warm?
No. Not even close. No. You mean because his name is Brady,
he would just normally... Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
Had sex with a supermodel?
No, he's done that.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, this morning he's
done it. Who hasn't?
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.